And this is about the three elements of music. I think you've heard some of this stuff, but maybe you can see a little bit here while we talk about this thing here. And these are the three elements of music and how they affect us, and they really do. Remember the stuff we talk about, the language that music is, the work, and it affects us whether we want it to or not. And if we believe that and we understand that it does, I don't know how anybody could not understand that music affects you whether you understand it or not. It actually affects your feelings and the whole thing, your flesh, even your spirit. That knowing that, the Bible warns about not understanding any voice, you become like a what? What's it say? Barbarian. And you know, you would think that would bother people, that the Lord says, if you don't understand a voice, you will be like a barbarian to those people, and vice versa. You would think most people would go, well, you know, I don't want to be like that. I don't want music to control me. Especially when I don't know I'm being controlled. So I would like to think that people like to look into the music thing a little bit, so I'll try to present that in a fashion that makes people asking for it, I guess, you know. So let's look at the three elements of music just for a couple minutes here. Harmony, and this is nothing new, I don't think. Harmony, rhythm, and melody. Harmony makes us feel something. It makes us get an emotion, feeling good, feel happy, feel gay, you know, in the old days, unhappy, sad. The harmonies is what makes people respond that way. It makes us feel something. Rhythm, it makes us do something. And it's going to be good or it's going to be bad, but it affects the flesh. Melody makes us think something. Right? That's just a melody. And if you know the song, it makes you think about the Lord, makes you think about the cross, makes you think something, see? So, any melody you hear could be good or bad, but it makes you think. Well, we go back to the harmony thing, and as we go through the big picture sometime, we will see that the harmony is really written, it pleases man. It pleases man. And there's nothing wrong with that. It pleases man. It's a happy sound or it's a sad sound. But, if I were to play an invitation, or if I play some hymns or whatever, and I just go bonkers on the keys and just play all sorts of stuff, not getting the rhythm thing, but just playing a bunch of runs and Dino type stuff and just fancy type stuff, you'll see here that that's a man-pleasing thing. And it's not that it's wrong, and I'll show you why in a couple minutes. I guess I won't say that, but rhythm makes us do something, it pleases the devil. How can you say that it pleases the devil? Because it appeals to the flesh, and the flesh profiteth nothing. So from that standpoint, the flesh, the rhythm, it pleases the devil. Now we have to have rhythm. You can't do without it. So there's something that has to take place here. And then melody. This is the key to the whole thing here. See, I guess I probably should turn those around as I think about it. Melody pleases God. How do you know that? Because when the Bible talks about music, it talks about melody. That verse there in Ephesians, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Melody is what pleases the Lord. The whole long verse in Isaiah, look where it ends. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. So with all the emphasis going on in the churches lately with rhythm and all that kind of stuff, that's pleasing the flesh. Aren't you glad we're cut away from the flesh? You ever listen to any music that pleases the flesh? Yeah, we do. But you hear it. It's there. Aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? Because you probably walked everything totally clean your whole life since you got saved. But your music would have sent you to hell. If it pleased the flesh, you're done. You're back to where you started. Boy, I'm glad we're eternally saved. Amen. So this is very important to get a grasp on this over time, is to realize that melody is what pleases the Lord. So when you're doing up and down the ivories on the piano, doing all these fancy chords and stuff, that's just probably to make the piano player happy. Now, have you heard me say that? I don't know what I told you folks at all. I don't hate to repeat stuff, although I do all the time. Doesn't mean I enjoy it. A guy said, and I say this, I mean, you sit down, you play the four verses, I mean, you get tired of playing just four-part harmony. And when I'm gone and different people are gone or whatever, and Patience has to come up here, and pretty soon Sam will come up here, and all he's going to probably be able to do is play a little melody. You know, that's all we need. And you really don't even need that. You can sing a cappella. You don't even need somebody to play the piano. Because all you're going to do is, you know, and you're going to sing that melody in whatever key you want to sing it in. The piano just kind of ties you together. I can understand in some ways why the congregational crowd doesn't allow instruments in their church. Because musicians are a dangerous group. Doesn't take much at all for a musician to bring in the flesh. Then you get into these high-class churches, these denominational crowds, that they got these great big huge humongous choirs. And they rehearse and they rehearse. And I've directed one, you know. I should be like he was. I'll tell you all the things I've done in my life. Maybe you'll listen to me better. Well, maybe you would. I don't know. But all the choirs are directed. We practice the alto part 1,000,000,000 times. Then we bring the sopranos in. Let's practice them together, ladies. You and the men, you and the tenors and basses, you go off in the other room and you practice your parts. And then after about 3 or 4 weeks of practice, we can present this one nice special arrangement, four-part harmony with all this kind of stuff. And that just, that pleases man. Is that a bad thing? Well, not necessarily, but we know it's the melody that pleases God. And it's even the melody in your heart that it talks about there. One of the things I enjoyed a couple minutes doing the presentation the other day was when we got to the part where it says, where do we praise God? Remember, I have shown you that one. Where do you praise God? Well, one of them's in among the heathen. I showed a couple of pictures of us down on the street singing and doing all that kind of stuff. That's how you sing among the heathen. And you know, the heathen could care less whether you're singing in pitch or not. They could care less if you got a nice four-part quartet. Get the little straw hats and the whole bit. Now what makes them mad is what you're singing about. And the melody is what makes you sing about what you're going to sing about. But is it unpleasing to God about harmony? Does it not please God? Well, we know that rhythm doesn't please God. We just know that it appeals to the flesh. It's still there. The key to this stuff is this stuff all has to be in a balance. Everything has to be in a balance. I mean, music's going to have rhythm and melody. It doesn't have to have harmony, but the harmony does something to the melody, and it helps it be put across. It helps it be pleasing to the ear. And if you do anything out of here, if you do any of those things without the other two, you're out of balance. And you end up either with rock music or nowadays rap. They're missing the C at the beginning, but it pretty much says the same thing. Rap music, all it is rhythm. There is no melody. And there is no harmony, unless it's two fat guys singing this stuff. That's still a harmony they can come up with. If we take out the rhythm and the harmony, all we have left is melody. Then we start to get into that New Age stuff. Remember all that in the presentations. And that gets out of balance. And it's a very spiritual thing, but you get right into the Antichrist spirit and the nature of the spirit and all this kind of stuff. And if we just get caught up in that harmony thing, we forget the message. It was a good performance, but you missed the message. And you get caught up in all these harmony parts and the singing parts and your alto part, and you forget what it is you're singing about. And if you've never done that, then you don't know what I'm talking about, probably. But if you are concerned about your part, then you're missing that you're singing to the Lord. It becomes a performance. So you can see how these things can get out of balance and can cause problems. Now the question, though, still I'm going to ask here, melody pleases God, harmony pleases man. Can harmony please God? Well, sure it can if it fits Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And this is what I'm saying. This is one of those things I have to prepare. And how can music be true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report? And let's see if you learned anything. What era do we believe without a shadow of a doubt that there was some music that was written that was pleasing God, and emphasis was on harmony? That's the classical Baroque thing. Yeah. Well, you almost said it. You just couldn't get it out, could you, Jerry? You've never said that word before in your life. Classical and Baroque. Baroque, yes. So there is a music that was written in its proper balance. It had harmony, it had melody, and it had rhythm. But none were out of balance. Now, the only problem was it was the Japheth thing, and God blessed Japheth's work. Remember in Genesis chapter 9? And because of that, right around that era, that music was called absolute music. It was called music for the sake of music. It was nice, sounding, clean, clear, proper music. And because of that, That's just the example I use. It's just clean chords. Mozart, all those names of those guys, and Handel and Bach. And so there was a time that the music fit this kind of stuff. Now, who was it that got involved with this music when it was in its purest form? Bach wrote music for the glory of Jesus Christ. Handel wrote oratorio after oratorio, and that's not a cookie. That's an actual thing when they call it, when you write this big, big work based on a Bible story, Bible text. What did I just ask you? Yeah, who got involved and messed with this stuff? Who was it that took the absolute purity of music and brought it back to man? Who was a famous composer? Beethoven. You know? I mean, we're hearing some clean chords. I won't do it like I did the other day. What got over me back at the meeting there? There's chord. And then Beethoven. See, that note just doesn't fit. It's a minor thing. And I've said 1,000,000,000 times that when you listen to Beethoven, you're listening to the person of Beethoven. So it didn't take long for man to take the harmony and manipulate people that harmony. Can you manipulate God? You can't manipulate God. He just wants to hear you sing. And it's just even in your heart, you know. So these are the elements of music, and this is where we get affected. This is where we get manipulated with the world that's out there. And the last phrase here is, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And these are the elements that get out of balance and start messing with us with our music. And as a result, it quenches the spirit. Isn't that amazing? It really is just a very simple thing. Here's one of them. Do. Make sense? A little bit. It's an interesting thing that's going on out there. Now, we'll touch this another short one. See, that little slide, or those four slides, are part of a slideshow with 252 slides. See, if I just pull those out of there, it makes it easier to present. I can even email that to somebody or upload it on the website, and they can click and go through that. And that's it. So that's a neat thing to build, and we're getting there. God showing, I hope I get this thing together before I die, you know. The Mozart effect. Well, if we go back to that thing in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that's where the music is in its proper pure form. Absolute music, it was called. So we have to be careful. Music has become the power of the Antichrist, as he deceives both the saved and the unsaved with good music. This is a good music issue. So there's a reference to Philippians 4, 8. So even though that music was good enough to give God his glory, Satan figured out how to use it. And it doesn't take long at all for me to tell people that music is not the issue is not a good and bad music issue. It's a music issue. Because now we understand how the devil even uses the good music. Here's that thing in Philippians 4:8 again. Now just for the record, if you're wondering why it has such a bright yellow color, on the screen here it's gold. So maybe there's some colors I can learn to adjust with that thing, but that's just the way it is. Here's that stuff in Samuel. Remember that story in Samuel with Saul and David? Saul got sick. The evil spirit departed. He got all messed up. And David comes along and plays his harp cunningly. In other words, he practiced. And he was able to please Saul. He was able to heal him physically, mentally, and spiritually. That's how that story goes. We just have to remember that an unsaved person doesn't have the Holy Spirit. A saved person does have the Holy Spirit. And shame on us if we turn to music to do what the job of the Holy Spirit's supposed to do for us. But that's what people are doing. And most Christian musicians turn to 1 Samuel 16 and say, look at that. It worked for Saul. It can work for us. And that's why there's people out there. That's why preaching is going away and music is coming in. Win people to the Lord with your music. Bring people to church with the music. And Paul is adamant. He says what? It's the preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 20. That's preaching is where it's at, not music. Music is a result of something. It's not an attraction. But anyway, so we're going to look a little bit here about, there's this stuff about Saul. If a person turns to music instead of the Holy Spirit, then the devil is what? Now, an unsaved person can get all the blessings from music, and he really can. He can get comforted. He can be encouraged. He'll have the kind of music that if he's having a bad day, he can play the kind of blues that makes him feel good. There's music for everything today. But see, we're not unsaved. We're not lost. We've been. What's the word this morning? We've been reconciled back to God. And we go back to God, we need to leave some behind. That's our music. We need to go after what pleases Him. Okay, if the same person turns to music instead of the Holy Spirit, then the devil has still won, even though the devil doesn't get their soul. He gets them to quench or grieve the Spirit of God. And that's, that bothers me. We're not supposed to be ignorant of His devices. And we're so proud, as Bible believers, we're so proud that we got the devil figured out and how he's messed with the Scriptures and the whole thing. But are we willing to see what it is about music? And that's why I'm glad Sam and Austin are taking piano, to hang in there. Because if nothing else, it'll teach them about the language of music. Whether they ever perform a recital in front of you folk, but they will. They will. But if they never do, they still will learn a language. See, somebody asks you guys right now, you taking a foreign language? Oh, yeah. Oh, patience too. Well, Chris, you don't practice anymore. Yes, you do. I'm just harassing you. You do practice sometimes.
Yeah, easy.
But anyway, it's a foreign language. It's really a foreign language. There's actually two languages in there. You got the music language, and then you're learning some Italian. Forte, finé, some of that's German, some of that's French. It's all weird, you know. I mean, we had the music, the word, the abbreviation, RIT, RIT. You know what that means? You guys got that yet? It means to slow down. What's the full word? Retard, yeah. Anyway, it's retard. Retard. But anyway, just tell them to play a little bit more retarded. It means to play, slow down a little bit. Now, you can do that at home, Jerry, if you like. Yeah. Yeah. What? Oh, read it, yeah. Slow down, patience. Retard, patience. Retard, patience. In a nutshell, people are being led to Eastern healings. This is the summary at the end here now. False religions and false teachings by getting them to follow music instead of the Word of God. Quenching of the Spirit. And then we talked a little bit about in Daniel chapter 3, what kind of music does everybody bow down to for Nebuchadnezzar? What's the phrase? All kinds of music. So it isn't just a good and bad music issue. Okay, so this Mozart effect, this is an official thing. There's books by the gazillions out there about this whole thing. And basically what they talk about is they talk about taking the music from Bach and Handel and Mozart and all that good stuff, the clean stuff, and play it for your children. Play it in your household all the time. All the time. And when they do something like that, they call it the Mozart effect because Mozart's music is considered the best for this. And they make these claims. It'll improve your test scores. Learning time with something is shortened. They'll play this good music in companies and businesses, and you play it within your home, and you have the headsets on, you listen to the right kind of music. This has been proven. This isn't just some hot air from this guy named Don Campbell. He wrote me one day when I first put this out. He was not happy. You know, but I've used enough of this stuff to fit the percentage of educational purposes of copyright. So how about that? You know, there's some stuff you can use for educational preaching purposes. It's not a copyright problem. It'll calm down hyperactive children. It will. And you know when they first put that stuff out, that just proved my whole point. Our whole point about rock music. They've been saying for years. We've been saying for years that rock music will turn our kids into neurotic animals. Oh, it will not. You know, it goes against the body. It goes against the heartbeat. It goes against the flow of the body. And so as a result of that stuff, that music actually has an adverse effect. And they would laugh at us for years. They've laughed at that stuff for years. And then all of a sudden they come along and they say, well, you know, if you play this clean stuff, and I think I got it on here. I shouldn't, maybe I'm jumping the gun here. I forgot what's on this thing. If you play it at a certain speed, I think it's 60 beats per second, then it fits the heart. And just instantly, oh, wait a minute, I thought you guys didn't believe this thing. So if the music is played at the right speed, at the right rhythm, and the right thing of the body, and it helps you, well, then obviously the opposite is true. And so what those guys are doing on the stage today at the Super Bowl, that is just the opposite. They're turning them into animals and just spastic retards. That's what they're doing. So when your kids hear what they hear when they're little like that, it's doing something to them. It's actually adversely, is that right? Adversely affecting your children when they hear that stuff. And it's getting hard because everywhere you go, it's there. You know, you go to high-class restaurants and they used to play the calm, quiet stuff. If you pay enough money for that apple, then you pay $50 for this apple and this little pie or something. They don't care if you stay there for a couple hours. Sit there and enjoy your music and digest properly. But if you go into a Pizza Hut, and Pizza Hut was the first company that came out of this years and years ago, that they studied music, and the music they play in the Pizza Hut, it's all piped in, you know, from somewhere, that stuff's been proven to get people to come in and get out of there. It'll increase their business. They're manipulating people with music. My point with this thing here is that Mozart will actually calm down your children. Oh yeah? You got any CDs I can borrow, Pastor? That's a terrible way to go about it, though. It's good for them to hear that, because what else are they going to hear? But I'm just old-fashioned enough, and I got my grandkids coming a couple of days, so I have to eat half my words, whatever. But they need to also learn how to be quiet when it's quiet, and think, and all this kind of stuff. And that music is going to help them, but you can't let that be their thing. What is a? Anybody here know what Clemensons do in their household? What do they do? Yeah, they don't listen. They don't listen to it. They just play it. It's just going on. They got Scorby going on all day long in their house. That's interesting. It's an interesting thing. Yeah, it's not that the Clemens is the number one godly family in the world, but that sure is an interesting thought. But I still would say they still need quiet time. I'm still big on that quiet time. You still have to be careful. But still, that's a neat effect. That's Scorby. That's Bible. That's Scriptures being read. Well, you know who else can read Scriptures in your house to your kids? You don't need to plug in a tape. And I'm not knocking, I mean, that's a neat thing that they do that, but you can do it too. Just read your kids some tape, some Bible. You read your kids some tape, or play some Bible. Read some Bible to your kids. I'll go to bed tonight, maybe. Errors are reduced. I should be playing music right now in my ears. That's what I should be doing. Creativity and clarity are improved. Physical healing of the body is faster. Both sides of the brain, if you have one, are integrated for more efficient learning. Then you get into the left side and the right side, all the psychology stuff. You know, musicians are right-brained. I think scientists are left-brained. I don't know. You know, some people are no-brain. You know, yeah, amen, whatever. Your IQ. Oh, that's good. IQ score are raised 9 points. There must be a test called the IC test, you know. Yeah. I typed this up when it was quiet. I should have been playing some music is what I should have been doing here. SAT scores improved 39 points on the average. Major corporations cut training time in half. Stress relief. Improved communication. These are all things that they claim with the Mozart effect. This is their lingo here. Performance level raised, thus productivity increased. There you go, Jerry, at work. Take some music in there, play music at that Boise, you know. Calms ADHD and autistic children. I had two autistic kids in my music class 1 year. Boy, I'll tell you, it was the hardest year I've had in the music class for the longest time, boy. But they really do like music. That really had a lot. That did a lot for them. Learn foreign language in 30 days instead of 2 years. That's been a proven thing. Do it with the music. Hooked on phonics is an example of learning stuff. It's terrible. It's a terrible way to go about it, but it's something that really makes a big hit for people. This is what they say. When your body hears a steady 1 beat per second, which would be 60 on your metronome if you ever find a little thing up there for that thing, your heart rate and pulse relax to the beat. When you are in this relaxed but alert state, your mind is able to concentrate more easily. Music corresponds and affects our physiological conditions. During heavy mental work, our pulse and blood pressure rises. It is usually more difficult to concentrate in the state, and music will bring it back down. That's what they say about music. Here's more of their quotes. They say that, in fact, this is I think there's three of them, CDs or something you can buy. These are the titles and the PR thing for him there. Strengthen your mind. Here's a CD. It's music for intelligence and learning. It primes your ear and brain. You can buy a CD that'll heal the body. Best used for reducing stress, tension, and accelerating physical healing. Unlock the creative spirit. That's another CD. Mozart can provide a pathway to your personal creativity, unlocking waves of images and impressions and amplifying the expressive inner voice. Where do I write the check out? This sounds great to me because these people don't know the Lord. And all those things that happen up there, you know, I mean, you that your SAT score improved? Well, just trust the Lord. Study through the Lord and study the stuff and have the peace of God and the whole bit. All that stuff that goes with being a good walking Christian, you know, and you'll do fine. All that stuff is just taking the place of the Holy Spirit. So what is wrong with good music? And people kind of roll their eyes when I start going after the good, you know, start talking about how bad. Boy, don't you like anything? Well, there's nothing wrong with good music. It's just what you do with it. That's all. Then I go into the part where we talk about beyond the Mozart effect, going beyond the actual effect. You've seen you can buy all the CDs and the tapes, and it really is a big issue, big deal going on. But if they go beyond the Mozart thing, there's a reason. It's a ploy. The Mozart effect is a sneaky thing to get you involved with the Mozart effect for your children, and then here's what comes next. Doesn't that sometimes help you realize that this may look like a good thing, but if you know what's around the corner, you won't do it? So forget about what I just said about this Holy Spirit stuff if you want, but this is what beyond the Mozart effect leads to, and this is still their talk. This is still them yakking at us here. And I'm leaving out a lot more stuff that I'm probably going to have to here. Power of music is what they talk about, the power of music. What do they not know, the Bible says, you err not knowing the Scriptures nor the what? Power of God. That's because they're caught up in the power of music. Why do you think our kids like to sneak and hide and play different kinds of music? One of it's rebellion. Two, it does something for them. They don't realize it does something to them also. Harness the power of music, they say. It's forms of vibration. You get into the details, and they talk about the vibrations, the sympathetic vibrations you get from music. It actually does something to you physically, the vibrations of the music. What do we hear nowadays? We don't hear it. What do we feel? 10 miles away, boom, 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 boom. That's a vibrating thing. And according to these guys, that's healthy. I don't think I have any vibration talk on this thing yet. Tony, ma, me, me, mo, moo, ever done that stuff in church choir? All that stuff? Didn't you do that? Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing. You were never in church choir here. I was looking at Louie. If you were in church choir, you in church choir? Probably to get out of another class or something, right? Did you ever do the may me stuff? Mau mo, may, 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 me, me, may, mau mo, moo. You know, Tony, mo, moo. We ought to do some of this stuff here. No. If you do the may, me, my, mo, moo, and you feel the vibrations in your head, go up a step, may, me, my, and that's called toning. You got to read about it. Boy, I'll tell you. I knew it was bad when I was in high school. I just didn't know why. Now I know why. It helps to sing, though. It does. I mean, you know. Eastern wisdom, they talk about this. Eastern wisdom. Self-generating sounds. We don't want to get into that one. Creative spirit. Mantras, that's not a snake. Enhance, inner self, imagery, chant. Where does that talk about in the Bible? That's Amos chapter 6. And here they use it right there. They say there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. You know, they say there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. That's what they say. There is no way to love. Love is the way. And we all know Jesus is the way. And that's a very simple little response, but that's what they say. So whatever they can do to have peace, they need to have peace. Let's see. If you're a peacemaker, I guess that makes you a child of God then. See what's going on? Happiness is the way. Love is the way. What are we getting in church Christianity today? We're hearing all this stuff about peace. Come to our church, you'll love it, it's happiness, and love, love, love. This stuff is in our churches. Just about done with this one here. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, or bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to teach our children how to think about Christ. Music doesn't do that. You can get older, you hear some melody, you'll think of the Lord, and yeah, it can help, but not when you're little. They're just hearing music, if it's even considered music. Be sober, be vigilant. You know this one, the devil's just walking around looking whom he can eat up. Boy, he's just looking, and he's looking for your children. And he'll get them with that music. He can't get them in church. He can't get them in the Sunday school thing. He can't get them in your homeschool curriculum. He can't get them within your family unless you pop in the wrong kind of music, and he'll get them. I guarantee you, he'll get them. Both of our kids snuck into the country western thing. And my belief about the snooping system of a father was able to dig into that stuff. And then I know why they got into that stuff, because some of the Christian family led them into that, just by little by little, other things and whatever, all that stuff. And they both would tell you, yeah, that's what we did. Yeah, see? Music is a real powerful force in our kids' lives. And now we know this stuff in Romans chapter 1, 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And it goes through there and it just talks about how they made God into that corruptible man. And that's what those folks are doing. They're taking stuff that is true about God and about the Holy Spirit and Jesus is the way, and they're making it become a man thing. So everybody out there says, yeah, this religion is just man-made. You know they're right? Because what they see out there is man-made. They say that, yeah, that when man got a hold of the Bible, they ruined it. You know what? They're right. But there is one they haven't got a hold of yet. Yeah, church is just a bunch of religion, a bunch of men trying to do a church thing. Yeah, that's true. They're right. But let's try to base one on the scriptures, and we'll do the best we can. It's amazing. They're right, but they're missing the truth right in there. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I could show this stuff. Well, like that guy that wrote this particular book I'm picking on here, he had no clue what I was talking about. Well, of course not. Right? Natural man. He doesn't get it. He loves his music. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Lusts involve the flesh. Music has involved the flesh. So really, they're walking after their own music. They know what they like. And they don't care if some guy comes along. Even if I had credentials, they could care less. I've got the most powerful credentials anybody has as far as talking about music. And this is what that Bible says. Skip the fact I'm kind of hanging over my belt. I'll get rid of that in the next couple months, I hope. The visual thing, I'll go and buy a nice suit coat because this one I can hardly breathe. And I need to do that sort of thing, I guess. But that's not what's going to win them. They've got to realize that I'm speaking the authority of this book. Even the famous preaching guy is kind of don't go for it all the time. It's a little deeper now. A little hard to see that one, isn't it? Nada yoga, the yoga of sound. This is what they call an enhanced Mozart effect. Nada yoga, or nada yoga, or you know, whatever, means union through sound. Meditation on sound is one universal path to self-realization. It's accessible to any, these are their words, accessible to anyone and appropriate for people of any religion or spiritual aspiration. This is all union through sound. Sound. To practice nada yoga is to start with beautiful music. Is that not what we've been saying? The Mozart effect. Eastern music is a valuable tool. North Indian sitar, Japanese shakuhachi, Native American flute music. I need to put a T in there. Don't let me forget that. Flu music. That's flu music, I guess, when you're sick, when you're an Indian, I guess. Native American flute music can also be an excellent choice. Choose Western classical music. But whatever you choose, it must be instrumental. No voices. This is a major statement here. Voices and words are too specific. Yeah, you betcha they are. You know. But now if you go back to that stuff with what we know, Eastern music, whose is that? Who? That's Shem. Okay, Native American, what's that? That's Shem. Notice they don't do any Hamite stuff here. Hamite's a beat, it's a physical thing. You can't relax with that stuff. So I would think parents are pretty happy. Oh, my kids aren't listening to rock. They got those panpipes and the sitar stuff and all that Eastern stuff, and they got smoke coming up out of their nose, you know, and they're sniffing and doing all this Eastern stuff, and the Islamic crowd comes along, and boy, I tell you, that's good stuff, because it sure makes your kids feel good. It makes your parents feel good or whatever. Pretty weird stuff that's going on here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's their phrases: music, the physician for times to come. The roar of silence. Now, I think silence is an important thing. So they got this one here. That's all right. The healing powers of tone. That's that, that's why they sit and they cross their legs if they're young enough and do that, and they kind of hum. There's a vibration that goes on and is healing until they have to get up. Then it's just, but prayer time, you guys, remember? Go. Half the prayer meeting is just getting up for some of us. We need a hum on the way up. You know? The power of music. How to use sound for relaxation, concentration, and healing. And they did capitalize the H. Isn't that amazing? Music and miracles. Healing yourself with your own voice. Don't go there, okay? I won't. Healing with great music. I think that's where I stop. Now, here's where we are today. And you know this one. We go to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6. We talk about the fact that we're being replenished from the east. Is that not an amazing thing to see what's going on? You know, you and Sue, you and Lewis and LD and Goldie, you guys have lived long enough to go from pre-rock, you know, before Elvis. You're probably back... Gene, Glenn Miller, stuff like that. And then it was so rebellious. It's a jitterbug and those, and then they flip them over their back and all that stuff. And look where it's gone. The whole jazz rock turned into a rock scene. Elvis comes along, Hamites, brings in the Hamite music, and a white guy, Japheth and Ham get together. Japheth and Ham get together. And after a while, the damage has been done. The damage has been done. The Bible, the Hamites get together, the Alexandria crowd gets together and destroys the Bible, takes away the fact that there should be one Bible. Who moves in? The Yeshem moves in with the Eastern religions in the Bibles, all that New Age Bible version stuff. I'll still never forget the day when that clicked, reading Gail Riplinger. The New Age Bible stuff, it just clicked. And look what's happened to music. Rock really isn't the issue anymore, although that you wouldn't know that according to the TV and the rap and the stuff that they're doing, but that really isn't rock music. That's still a different kind of, I mean, it's still an element of that rock music thing. But people are being snickered by this stuff right here. It's all from the East. The music that's going on today, the latest today, is just all this, you know. I suppose this probably goes along with candles. There's an interesting study when you study candles and the purpose of candles and why you want to have candles all lit in your home and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, probably wards off the demons, all this kind of stuff, you know. Anyway, there's that sort of thing right there. That's why we don't have parties at church. Now, what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, which is a what? Trombone, early trombone. I'm trying to help you learn these things here. And dulcimer and all kinds of music. You ever seen a dulcimer? They ever play the dulcimer in there here? Flat thing with a piano tip down the side, only small, and you just bang on the strings. You guys have a dulcimer? Gibbs, yeah, Cassie plays that. Remember to be praying for the Gibbs. They're just about, from what I can tell, they're kind of running out of time. Pretty concerned. Cassie is in rough shape, just like much as Sam. And half of her rough shape, as she says, is watching Sam. And she's losing her hearing and stuff. It's rough stuff. The key, what's the key in this phrase right here? What's the key in this verse that I talk about all the time? All kinds of music. That's a good little trick, isn't it, right there? I like that. I was told by one of the people that watched it, listened to me a year or so ago back in Portland, that it helped them so much easier to see it. So I was pretty encouraging to know that this isn't just some modern thingy-dingy to do here to be impressive. It really helps. I hope it helps. That's the Mozart effect. That's good music. Boy, it makes you just kind of want to throw out music, doesn't it? Well, you know, don't have to. Your music can give God the praise and glory, amen? I think that's all I got that would be short enough to show you some stuff. I think I've shown you this one, haven't I? This doesn't take long anyway, in case I haven't. Let's run through it. Might as well. Sound of Sin. Recognize this at all? These are just the verses in the Bible that talk about all the bad examples of music. There's some amazing stuff in there. All kinds of music, we've already talked about that. Noise of war in the camp, where was that at? What story is that? That's Mount Sinai. Yeah, right there. See, there's always one kid in the class can get the clues in the test, you know. It's like an open book test. What'd you get? I got a C. Take the test home and study it the night before and I still get a B or a C. It's an amazing thing. Music of the wicked world, Job. I enjoy reading the one in Job because it has an example in there where it talks about watching the little children dance the music and the laughter, and they laugh at it, how cute it is. And you go to some of your family or friends' homes, you know, and they got the cute little kids and they're put on their junky music because they're not saved or whatever, they don't understand this stuff, and they sit there and laugh at the little kids while they do a little dance and jig and all that stuff. That is not funny. That is not funny, because that's exactly what the Bible says goes on in the wicked world. But try to tell them that. It's amazing what you can learn in your Bible, amen? That's a neat little series to read right in there, Job 21. Howlings in the temple. That's in Amos. Music of the worldly party crowd. There's some more of that stuff. Song of the drunkard. I preached that a long time ago, that we are the sound of their, we are their music. Remember what I talked about? When we complain and we whine and we tell our friends what's wrong with the pastor or what's wrong with church or what's wrong with some church people or whatever, that to the world out there, that's music to them. We are their music, it says in Lamentations chapter 3. They like to hear us show that we don't have it together. That's music to them. And that's the song of the drunkard. In Solomon and Isaiah, all music and no action. Joyful music turned into mourning. Music used to please one's own self. We know Satan's a musician, Ezekiel 28. Laughing at God's warning. God's trumpets being ignored. Trumpet's the type of preacher, and the preacher's a type of trumpet. Noise of thy vials brought down. God's going to quit listening after a while. Noise in the house of God. Remember the Old Testament? That's the house of God. New Testament? Rightly dividing? Where's the house of God? Right here. Is there noise in the house of God? It'll be what you're listening to. And he does not like it. Aren't you glad that he paid so you can still do what you want anyway? You want to please God? You want to walk a little cleaner walk? You want to have a little bit more power of God in your life? Like I say, maybe everything is going right, but maybe that one isn't. Maybe the house of God is being polluted. Maybe there's some howlings in here that you're listening to or hearing. Maybe you're just hearing some music that sings about how you lost your truck and your wife and your dog and all that stuff, the country stuff, you know. I think I got a little eyebrow the other day when we mentioned people in the church that now are dancing to the beat of the banjo. I think there was a little during that little moment there the other day. God hates the noise of their song. Christian music used for self, Amos chapter 6. So there's that one. Just quick stuff. Oh, guess not. 500 more direct. Yes, we've been through this. Talks about the Holy Spirit being the one that's supposed to teach and guide you. This is the preaching time for this thing. Yeah. Go through those things and allow the Word of God to affect you, worketh also in you that believe. Knowledge comes first, then understanding and wisdom. Da 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 da. We've been through these things here. Although I do like let me show you the last slide. I think it's in here. Oh. Yeah, it's here. Do 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 do. Kind of casual tonight, huh? There we go. This verse pops up, and Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And what does the world do? They take out by every word of God. Now, what do we do? What do you know about music? What do you know about in your Bible about music? If you haven't purposely looked, you're no different than a guy with an NIV Bible. If it's not important to you, turn it off. I wouldn't take that chance. Lose your kids, lose your grandkids to the music that you don't know anything about. Dig up the scriptures, find out what it says, but by every word of God. So there's always a couple minutes to preach there. I like that little spot right there. Amen. Well, invitation tonight, right? That's David's house. I'll tell you that 1,000,000,000 times. We see it as often as you do. Well, I tell you, that whole thing is based on the authority of the Word of God. And it's a marvelous message you're allowing, you're helping put out. And I don't know what's next, but pray that I get the Sunday school stuff written for kids. I think that'll talk to people. The one about patch and veggie and all those things that are coming out. I get stuff all the time in the mail about all that stuff. Well, any thoughts or questions about that stuff? I forgot this was on. Yeah, I'll put it on there anyway. Oh, yeah.